Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 68, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way, and where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 68.
Thank you. portion of God's Word which is to be read this morning can be found in the Gospel according to John, thereof chapter 6, the first 40 verses. But before that, the laws, it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat John 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the relatives of Mr. Jim Vandenberg, who stood at the open grave in this past week. Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Less were blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. Adrian Van Hagenbos, who received back surgery yesterday after a farm accident in this past week. Dustin Grisnick is scheduled for surgery in this coming week. Reverend Bazin, who is a week in Michigan. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, We may gather together here in thy house in this morning hour. And then it is in the way as we have heard out of thy commandments. When thou dost command us to labor for 6 days in the week, and all the labors that thou layest on our shoulders in this life. And thou commandest us for one day that we should set aside all those labors, that we should set aside our own words, that we should set aside also the thoughts of all the labors and the cares that are in this world, that we may meditate upon thee, and that we may draw nigh unto thee in thy house of prayer. And it is in a special week that we have entered also as a congregation, a week of preparation for thy holy supper. And thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. When also it is announced in the midst of us, and that supper that will be commemorated in our midst, then it is possible that we have so little thought thereof, that we have no desire therefore, and that we only look upon it as that which is for others, not a care, not a concern, and does man have in his soul as he is born into this world. But it must become different between the cradle and the grave. Lord, we beseech you, and that thou would visit us in this day, and that thou, if it has never been in our life a concern within, that thou would stop us on our mad career, and that thou would turn us once again in the way of true repentance. Wilt thou grant us a little separation this day? Because thou knowest how many buyers and sellers that are living in our hearts in that holy temple of the Lord upon the Sabbath day. And then there is so much clamor, and there is so much noise sometimes within our hearts that we cannot hear thy holy word. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for a little quietness, for a little separation this day, when we are together in thy house, that thy word may this day have a place in our heart where maybe it has never had a place before, and that thou may awaken us from our death sleep, and that thou may grant us new thoughts and desires and longings and hungerings and thirstings after thee, the true and the living God. And wilt thou look upon each and every one of thy children. Lord, thou knowest where that they are in this day, or when they have come up to thy house. And thou knowest the manner thereof, and all that lives within. We sing it by times, my flesh and heart falter. But God is my stay. O Lord, we beseech thee. And when it is so in the hearts of thy children in this morning hour, and my flesh and my heart that falters. Oh, so it is so often day by day, because we can give ourselves nothing, and we can maintain nothing. Everything has to come from thee, O Lord. and thou who art the beginning, and thou wilt also be the ending. Oh, that thou may then begin, but that thou may also uphold and continue it in the life of thy people, that there may be a need born in their hearts by renewal, because it is a people that are stiff-necked. It is a people that must be admonished. It is a people that rebel against thee in complaining continually. It is a people that are so lying on a bed of slothfulness. It is a people that have departed from thee days without number. It is a people that must be admonished and that must be corrected and must be brought by times even into a land of bondage, and that they are not able to deliver themselves from. It is a people that there must often hang their harps upon the willows, and their enemies to require of them a song. But then they say, how shall I sing a song, the Lord's song, in a strange land? O thou knowest where that thy children are. Lord, thou hast commanded them, and that they would commemorate thy death till thou come again. And it is for a purpose known unto thee, because it is a church that needs to be maintained by thee. And then it is experienced in their life that they are not able to uphold themselves. Oh, we beseech thee then for thy presence, for thy nearness, and that thou thyself may visit thy church in this day, in this week, in the coming Sabbath day. Oh, that we may be given to acknowledge thee for thy great goodness despite all our sin and wretchedness. That thou as that great shepherd, that thou hast come to bring thy wandering sheep back again. Oh, that thou may speak in the life of thy children, and that thou may give a little opening where there is so much darkness, and where there are those of thy own that do stand so afar off. Oh, that cannot count themselves with the number of thy children. But Lord, thou alone can include a man. And we do exclude ourselves by our own sin. But thou alone art able to bring thy children in again, by opening unto them that free and sovereign grace, to a wretched and a miserable creature, and that thou dost proclaim in thy holy word. Lord, what power have thy children from their own sight, but glorify thyself in thy return once again, and to show thyself through the lattice, when thou art standing so behind our wall. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thy children may be given to rejoice at the sound, at the voice of their beloved. Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Oh, do make the hearts of thy children to burn, and when they may hear thy voice, and that they may be drawn to a run after thee once again. Oh, leave thou a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock, Lord. Everything that must come from thee, but thou wilt receive all the honor and all the glory for it in the life of thy own children, who have to become less and less and nothing, that thou may become more and more and everything. Oh, do it, Lord, then, for the sake of thy great and holy name. And could it please thee also to give in the hearts of many in our midst? Yea, could it be that thou wouldst not leave one hoof behind? A holy jealousy for that blessed portion of thy people. Oh, that there may be those who do say, Thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Oh, then they are those that are not like unto one of thine handmaidens. In themselves they are foreigners. In themselves those that are apart from thy children. But then they long also to be brought in. And then they are upon the fields of that greater Boaz. Maybe so come up in this morning, Lord. Maybe thou hast drawn them even in this very day, that they have come to glean a little among the sheaves. Oh, could it please thee to leave a little on purpose, that they also may be given to glean, and that thou they may return once again. Oh, Lord, wilt thou look upon all thy truly sent servants? Oh, do increase their number. And thy servant is not able to return to his own flock yet. Thou knowest where he is in his weakness. And if he may bring thy word in that place, Lord, that thou may be on his right and on his left hand, and that thou may give him a little strength again and healing in his body, and that he may return and do his work among his people and in this our community. Remember also the students of the theological school, our brother and his wife and children. And they may be among us now for some time. And wilt thou give them a little rest in these weeks, and that it may be good also in thy house, but also him that is going forth from Sabbath to Sabbath to speak in the congregations. And Lord, thou knowest what he stands in need of. And we beseech thee for him also, and for ourselves and for all thy servants, because we can do nothing from our own side, and that thou may go before us. Remember those that mourn. There are those that have stood at the open grave in the week that is gone by. Oh, then it was not so long ago that this husband and father was going about his labors in health and in strength in the midst of his family and his congregation and our community. And now it has all come to an end. Oh, so quickly. Lord, wilt thou remember his wife and his children and his grandchildren and all those that are about them? Oh, that thou may supply for all those that mourn, all widows, widowers, and orphans, also those in our midst. Wilt thou comfort as thou alone art able, and also, then not only dost thou bring life to an end, but thou also givest a beginning. Also, once again in the midst of us, a little child may be born. May it be born to be born again. And wilt thou strengthen mother and child together, and humble the parents under thy great goodness, when they may receive a well-born son from thee. O Lord, that thou may supply in all that is necessary in the future for them together. Remember also the children that do have special needs. The young man, he has had an accident. Lord, thou hast brought him into the hospital in such a sudden way that he is going from the labors upon the farm into the hospital, lying there in great pain. But Lord, thou hast brought him through this operation, and thou hast thus far made all things so well. Oh, thou knowest the weakness of his body. Wilt thou heal him in thy mercy? And could it please thee to raise him up once again, that he may go about his labors and go in and out among us? But, O Lord, we beseech thee, because it was for him the second time in such a short time, and that he received such a calling from thee. Oh, then we know not how many times that we shall receive such a warning from thee. Lord, that thou may bind this matter upon his young heart. Oh, that he may be given upon this thy Sabbath day to send up a cry unto thee in the place where he is lying upon that bed. Oh, that he may acknowledge thee for thy goodness, and that his heart may be broken to pieces thereunder. Oh, that he may learn to fear thy name. Lord, that thou may bring some good out of it. Remember the boy who must receive surgery in the week to come. Thou knowest also all that lives in his young heart. Oh, so many times has he been under the hands of the doctors in such a way. Oh, that thou thyself may bless these means for his full and complete recovery, if it could please thee. And oh, do give him also a cry, for he knows a little what is now before him, that he is able to understand a little of it. Oh, that thou may give him in the days of his youth to cry to thee and to experience that thou art the living God. Remember others. Thou knowest that there are those who have needs, those who have weaknesses of the body, those that suffer some from very serious diseases in our community. O Lord, we beseech thee that thy throne may be sought, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place. Look upon us, Lord. We do not deserve it, but take reasons out of thyself to show mercy to us and to our children. Remember us in this hour. Strengthen us to bring thy word. Give a little opening, give a little liberty. Show thyself to be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, because we cannot do without thee in the speaking or in the hearing. But wilt thou grant thy blessing, forgiving all of our many sins, taking us by heart and by hand, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 398 all the stanzas. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 398, and the last collection today, is for the Calvary loan repayment. congregation. Next week, the Lord willing, we hope to commemorate the Holy Supper of the Lord. What does that mean to us? Because it is not an institution of man, but it is an institution of Christ Himself, who has commanded that it be commemorated until that day that He is coming again upon the clouds of heaven. And what is the purpose? That is communion. Thus He has a desire to commune with His church. Thus Christ, He has something to say to His church. But communion that is not something that takes place only from one side. Because if we will speak to one another and there is no answer, then we say, when we go from that place, then there was no communion. Thus, communion, that is something that is taking place from two sides. Thus, in that Holy Supper of the Lord, He has something to say unto His own children. But it is in order that there may be a strengthening of that faith that He has planted within their heart. The lack of the exercise of faith in the life of God's children is not pleasing unto the Lord. And why not? Because it is by faith that there is an answer. That there is an answer in the heart of God's children unto the Lord Himself. Thus it is by faith and by the exercise of faith that there is another side to that blessed communion. And that is a side that we can read in God's Word is desired by Christ Himself. That He says, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And yet we can see how Christ recognizes the difficulty. That is the difficulty of the exercise of faith in the life of His children. And it is for that reason exactly that He has instituted that Holy Supper of the Lord. Thus we can feel something of the sensitivity of Christ to the weakness, that is, that continual weakness all the days of their life in the Church of God. Thus there is not only from His side a command, but there is also from His side an help in the fulfillment of that command, that He may partake of that communion with His church. A week of preparation lies before us. That is, according to the command of Christ, Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. A preparatory sermon that is to be in help, that is in help in this self-examination. But that self-examination itself is not something that we can do for one another. That is something that is the responsibility of every single one of us. We cannot do it for one another. Why not? We can see the life of one another, and something of the heart will show itself in our life. But we are not able to know the heart. How does a man examine himself? Well, then there must be a comparison. There must be a comparison of my own heart and of my own life with what I read in that holy word of God, and what are those marks that the Lord lays out to us for comparison in His holy word. That is our wish in this morning, to consider one of those marks, one of those essential marks, in order that we may begin this work of this week of self-examination. Our text that can be found in that portion that was read to you, John 6, the 37th verse. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So far, the words of our text. A sure mark of election. First, coming to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Second, received by Christ. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. A sure mark of election. First, coming to Christ. Second, received by Christ. All that the Father giveth me. What does that speak of? That speaks about a people, Christ says, that belonged unto the Father. How did they belong unto the Father? Well, everyone in this whole world belongs unto God. But then there is a people that are especially belonging unto God because they have been elected by Him. Because they have been chosen by Him from the stillness of eternity. But Christ, He says to His Father, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Thus, they are belonging to the Father, and they are given unto Christ. That does not mean that they do not belong anymore unto the Father, but that they are given unto Christ in a very special way. That they are given to Him in a very special union. And what is that union? Christ says it Himself. He says to His church, He says, I am married unto you. And we know that that is the most intimate union that is to be found in this world. And it is this union by which Christ is expressing that relation of His own to His church. It is an unbreakable union by covenant. For that union, the Father has given the Son a body. He has given to Him a human nature. A body hast Thou given Me. And for what reason? That is in order that He may pay that price for that human nature, which had to be paid in that human nature. But it is also that He may be united. All that the Father hath given Me, that is, that He may be united unto that people in a very special way. Paul says we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. All that the Father giveth Me. That people, they have been given unto the Son by way of reward. They are given to Him by way of merit. That is on account of a price that was paid for them. Thus, that Son, He is able to demand that people that the Father has promised Him. He is able to demand of His Father that He receive them, respectfully speaking, because He has paid the price for that people. Thus, that people, they belong to Him. And because they belong to Him, the Father, He is reconciled unto that people. He is reconciled to them in His Son, based on that full and that perfect satisfaction that that Son has made for that people. And yet, in that state wherein they have been born, then we find that those people, they are not yet in their own heart reconciled unto God. It is, as a matter of fact, exactly the opposite, that they are born into this world just as every other man in his enmity against God and his enmity against Christ is born into this world as God's children. How that was in former days in this world. As Paul says unto that church, what they were, that they were aliens, that they were strangers, that they were without hope, that they were without God in this world. Thus, Christ, He says that it's going to become different with that people. He says there is going to come a distinction. A distinction, He says, between those people who are given to Me of the Father and those who are not given unto Me. Thus, not everyone is given unto Christ. But He says that those that are given unto Me of the Father, they shall be distinguished by a certain thing in their life. And what will be that distinction? We read, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. That will be the mark. That will be that distinction whereby a man may know within his heart that he is belonging unto Christ, that he was given unto Christ from the Father. Thus it is that mark by which we must examine ourselves in this week concerning that Holy Supper of the Lord. By nature, we will not come unto Christ. There are many that are speaking about coming to Christ. However, that is so often that you feel that a man is supposed to come in a way of his own accord, that he is supposed to exert some kind of power that God's children feel and experience that indeed they do not have. And indeed it is so, because Christ himself, he speaks about that coming, and he says that ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. Ye will not. And in addition, in this chapter we also read that he says no man can come unto me except the Father which had sent me draw him. So we read, what is that natural state of man wherein he has been born, that he has no ability, that he has no will for it, that he cannot and he also will not? That is our fault. That is the depth of our fault. When there is a free proclamation, when there is a free invitation, and when man, because of his death, has no power, and because of that same death, he has no desire, no will to come unto Christ. You say with God's children that is different. By nature, that is not different. Though indeed they are given to Christ by the Father, they are still born in that state of wrath. But Christ, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So how is that? You say a man cannot. You say a man will not. And yet Christ says, here is now a people who shall. They shall come. How shall they come? Well, that is simple. Because Christ, when he says that no man can come unto me except, he says, that the Father which hath sent me draw him. Thus, we have that one only hope, that one only expectation that a man should come to Christ, and that is that he would be drawn to him, that he would be drawn unto Christ by the Father. Thus, that coming, that is a mark, that is an evidence of something. It is an evidence that a man is being drawn. And it is an evidence that a man is given to Christ. And it is an evidence that he has been given to Christ by the Father, and is therefore an evidence of his blessed and eternal election of the Father. Thus, that coming to him is not a cause. That coming to him, Christ says, that is a fruit. It is a fruit. And therefore, that coming may be laid out as a mark of the election of the people. Thus, have we ever been drawn to come unto Christ? You say, what does that mean? What does that mean now? To come unto Christ. Because children, in the days when Christ was in the world, then many people came unto Christ. Is that then what the Lord Jesus is speaking about? That all those people that may so come unto him, well, you say that cannot be because they came in a physical way. But we know that many of those people who came physically unto Christ, that they did not enter in unto the kingdom of God. No, you say it means something different. That is right. That is, that it means a spiritual coming. That is, that there is a coming unto him by the drawing of the Father in the way of faith. Of faith. Sometimes the English writers, they use the term closing with him. That is, that there is an agreement. What is faith? There are three aspects to faith. That is knowledge, assent, and trust. Thus, that coming soul that acknowledges Christ in the first place. It acknowledges Christ for who he truly is. For whom that he reveals himself, the way that he reveals himself in his word, it acknowledges him. And that coming soul that assents to Christ. That means that it agrees with him, that it agrees with his terms. His terms. And finally, that soul that trusts, that casts himself upon him in that way that he has declared himself for such as he is in this world. All that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me. What are now those terms that a man will assent to, that a man will agree to, that a man will acknowledge, that a man will cast himself upon? What are now those terms by which that a man assents to in that coming unto Christ? They shall come, he says, unto me. Well, they shall come unto me as a sinful man. as a sinner. Why? Because they are they for whom that I came. Because I am the Savior of sinners. Because I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now the natural man, he does not and he will not come unto Christ as a sinner. No, he cannot and he will not, because he does not see himself as such. He says, I am a good man. He says, though I am not a perfect man, still I am a good man and a righteous man. Thus he cannot and he will not come unto Christ as a sinful man. But Christ, he says that the Father, he will draw that people and he will bring them to him as a sinful man, that they may come as a sinner, as the thief, that he may come unto him all sin and nothing else. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall come to me as one that is lost. Why? Because I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. And now that natural man, he does not and he will not come unto Christ in such a way. Because he does not see, because he does not view himself as one who is lost. Or how a man needs to be instructed in that lost condition. We hope to hear, if the Lord gives it in this afternoon, how a man is given, is to be instructed concerning that lost condition. They shall come. They shall come unto me as not only a sinner, they shall come to me as a naked sinner. As one that is completely exposed on the inside and on the outside. That there is nothing more that they can hide before the eyes of that all-knowing God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall come to me in their wretchedness. They shall come to me in their poverty. They shall come to me in their need. They shall come not to bring something to me, but to receive everything from me. Because when they come, they will have nothing to bring to me anymore. A natural man, he is not able to come in his poverty, because he sees himself as rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But Christ, he does not need anything from his man. No, he is desirous that he may give everything to his children. And thus, the Father, when he draws them, then he will draw them as an empty vessel. that they may come to him with nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They shall come to me in their weakness, and that they are not able to fulfill all their own needs, that I may be glorified in them. They shall come. They shall come, no, not on their own terms, but they shall come on my terms. They shall come, and they shall come so, because they will be drawn so, and they will be made so by my own Father. When Elisha saw, he said, go down to that Jordan and dip thyself 7 times, and your flesh shall come again, and you shall be clean. And Naaman was wroth. The cure was so simple, but the pride of his heart that could not agree. He could not agree to the terms. He could not agree to the condition until he was drawn. And that was in such a simple way, my Father. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much more when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. And so drawn. And then went he down, and he was made so glad. How was he made so glad? With what happened there. But we want to consider that after we sing in our last call, 88. All stanzas. The Lord I will at all times bless. In praise my mouth and glory. My soul shall in Jehovah boast. The meek shall hear with joy. And what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 88. Because that is necessary if we will rightly partake of the Holy Supper of the Lord. We do not say that if you do not know this mark, that you are unconverted. We do not say that, because this is not the beginning in the life of God's children. But we only say that you cannot know it yet. We only say that it is still possible that it goes two ways. Christ, He is the special object of faith in that Holy Supper of the Lord. And He says, do this in remembrance of Me. Thus, we cannot remember Him when we know nothing of the slightest part of this coming unto Him. And if a person truly comes to Christ, then he will experience the necessity of being drawn unto Christ. Then he will not be a stranger of that stripping work of the Spirit of the Lord to make him a fit object for Christ. And that power of the Spirit to break down everything that is from his own sight, that he may be able to come to him not on his own terms, but on Christ's terms. But he will also not be a stranger of what happens when he is drawn to come to Christ. And what is happening? Christ says, He says, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. What does that speak of? It speaks about the reception. That speaks about how that person will be received by Christ, what he will experience there. And he says, then that man, he is drawn to me, that he is going to experience a very welcome reception. There is a reception beyond belief. It is a reception beyond the expectation of a man. When Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he says, I am Joseph. And what do we read? We read those brothers, they were troubled at his presence. Understandable. A whole life of sin that is coming before them. And then, what did he say? He said, come near to me. Come near to me. And then he assured his brethren of his gracious acceptance. Moreover, we read, he kissed all his brethren and he wept upon them. That is now the reception that a man is experiencing when he truly may be drawn unto Christ as a wretched and undone sinner. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Then there is an experience there. There is an experience of a graciousness, an astonishing graciousness on the side of God because of his only begotten Son to one who is so unworthy of. Then there is experience, what that prodigal son experienced when he would go to his father and say, Father, I have sinned. And what did he experience? Then his father ran. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. No wise cast out. What a humility. What did Mephibosheth say? When he expected to be cut off. And David says, you shall eat daily at my table. He said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? All that the Father giveth shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. How is that possible? If a man is given to see something of the foundation, of the foundation of that acceptance, then he sees such a certainty in it. How are that people received? Oh, it is based. It is based on a fully accomplished payment of the Son of God. Oh, it is based on a justice that is fulfilled, a law that is fulfilled every jot and every tittle. It is based on the good pleasure of the Father to receive a substitute that he may freely forgive all his elect. And when faith may have a little eye to see the smallest part, then it is congregation so sure. It is firm as a rock. In no wise cast out. What do we know of it? Do we know the smallest part of it? We say that is the beginning of a week of self-examination. Are we now an utter stranger of what it means to be drawn to come unto Christ? Not on our terms, because we want Him on different terms, but drawn to come to Him upon His terms, as a wretched, as a miserable, and as a naked sinner. Maybe you say, Maybe I have seen a little. Maybe I have had just a little glimpse, that I can recognize what you say. But now to say that I have come to Christ, oh, that seems like such a high, high thing. Do we know, congregation, what that little word grace is? Do we know what that little word grace means? I mean, not only with our mind, but did the Lord ever open it unto you that you were so, so glad with that little word grace? Because you say that word, when I saw it there, when I heard it, that opened a possibility for me. Do you know what that is? No, maybe you do not dare to say that I have come to Christ. But when the Lord is opening in all our wretchedness what our own impossibility is, the depth of our fault, that is, that there is no way from my own side, that I have to perish, and then, oh, to see just the smallest part of what that grace is, and to see that there is an open door, even for one as I am, who has not only sinned it all away, but who was never able to make it right with the Lord again. There is no grace outside of Christ. None. Thus, the Lord shows something then of Himself. And when Christ is revealing something of Himself, then what does a man see? He sees that receiving, that gracious reception of Christ, all because of His own goodness. What did Christ say to that man? He said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That man, who could not begin. Thus, there was nothing to give to him, that is to Christ, but there was everything that was to be received from Christ. And if the eye of our soul may see it, then we would like to embrace Him. Then we say, O Lord, that I may see more of Thee. Because it was just a little bit through that lattice that Thou hast shown unto me, and it was already so good. Then He is so suitable. Then He is so necessary. Then He is so precious. Then He is altogether lovely. And if we are not a stranger, oh, do you recognize in your life what the Lord Jesus says here? Because if we say, congregation, that is it, and the Lord knows it, then we hope next week that you may be found here at the table of the Lord. That is not to say that I possess something, but that is to say that I have nothing, and that I am only sick, and that He has everything for me. It is no mark of piety to deny what the Lord has shown us in our life, what the Lord has given to us in our life. No, that is against the commandment of the Lord. And it is displeasing to Him because He has something to say to you, and He desires that He may receive also something again of that blessed communion. A congregation, if we have to say we are now strangers, of that coming to Him on His terms, then stay away from that table of the Lord. Maybe our conscience testifies, though we have made a profession in the past, this day that we say, but I made a mistake, because I see that indeed that I have come to Him, I come to Him on my own terms. And then I miss what we read here. I miss the knowledge of that reception, that astonishing, that gracious reception. Oh, then we say, stay away. Is it hopeless for you then? No. No. Not at all. Beg the Lord to show you who you are. Christ says, straight is the gate. Straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. That gate that is so straight, that is so narrow. Why? It can fit congregation nothing but a naked sinner. Cannot bring anything along. Nothing. But when a man may enter there, do you know what then he experiences? Then he experiences what we sing. That His grace, that is as wide as the ocean. Ask the people. Ask them. And they will tell you. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, they are treasures that are so precious in Thy holy word, and we cannot receive them except that Thou makest place for them. Oh, it is so, so free. And we are traveling together to that never-ending eternity. Lord, we need each one of us the same thing. Oh, what shall it be to have heard of that freeness all our life long, and yet to perish? to be cast out. And that all because there was no place for thee. No place for thee in our heart. O Lord, draw us. We will run after thee. Bring us safely to our places. And wilt thou bring us with desire again in this afternoon in thy house of prayer. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 427:1-6. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. 6:427.
Mercy has flowed.
the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.